Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Are you ready for the word? Yeah. Happy Father's Day. I know I haven't said it, but if I have not seen you and out there is a bit of a chaos afterwards, those pies are yummy, by the way, for fathers. Not vultures, I mean children, fathers. But I want to say to the kids, hang around, there could be extras. Yeah. The father's priority. Yeah, they are. Leah, you're not meant to say that now. fantastic. Hey, such a privilege this morning and an honor to be with you all. All the fathers, we honor you. I do. I honor you. I know being a father is not easy. Fatherhood is not easy, but it is an incredible privilege and a massive responsibility. A massive responsibility. I think every father in this room would agree with me that there are moments when you feel like you know exactly what you're doing, but there's the majority of the time that you don't know what you're doing or you have no idea what you're doing. But as I said in the first service, this is where we are grateful that we have Jesus with us. We are grateful we have Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us. We have Holy Spirit who brings the wisdom when we need the wisdom and helps us to shut up when we need to shut up, yeah? Any amens? All right, I see some fathers, yeah. Hey, today I don't want to give us a list, the fathers, another list of what to do. Because sometimes Father's Day messages can also feel like an annual performance review. Dads, today I want to give you 4 P's and 3 L's on how to be a better father. That's not what I want to do today. What are the 4 P's? Pray more, be more present, be more patient, be more loving, be lead better, and you know what? Mow the lawn and pick up the dog poo and all the rest of it. Yeah. Fold the washing. Carmen. You have a new job. Fold that washing. But today's not about trying harder. Fathers, I don't want you to think I'm going to make you feel like you're going to have to try harder. As you are aware, we are part of the Spirit-led life. And today I want to actually look at that, at what that can mean, the context of fatherhood and the generations following us in that context. So I've titled this message, Different Spirit. Spirit-led life, different spirit. And as we look at life, we've got to realize as well that we're standing on the shoulders of our fathers. We're standing on the shoulders of our forefathers, yeah? We're standing on the shoulders of the pioneers that have gone before us. I can break it down. But basically, I always say to our kids that, you know what, my ceiling is your foundation. My ceiling is your foundation. And as fathers, our ceiling is the foundation on which our children can build. And this morning, I want to look at a biblical character which has carried something into the next generation of which we are recipients of. And his name is Caleb. He comes from you read about him in the Old Testament. And he is a great example for us. Why is he a good example? Because you see, Caleb found himself in a similar situation that we as fathers find ourselves in. A generation facing uncertainty. You know, we look at society today and we think to ourselves, where is this going to lead? A generation that is facing opposition. The church is facing opposition. We as fathers face opposition. And then also, Caleb faced a reality where there was a lot of challenges, which I think each one of us can see just by watching the news or just by being part of society. So Caleb is a good example, but it's not what Caleb did, it's how he responded that sets him apart. And that's what I want to highlight to us today, because I think there's a couple of lessons that we can take from Caleb. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, we are here. Father, we are ready. Download, renew, refresh. Give us new thinking. May we not be the same as we leave this place, as the time that we walked in. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Today we're going to look at the fourth book of the Bible, which is the book of Numbers. And we're going to start from chapter 13, and we're going to work through 13, 14. I'm not going to work, as we normally do, word studies, break it up, what's the Hebrew, what's the Greek, because of time. But we are going to look at specific verses, which I believe will solidify what God wants to say to us this morning. So the context of chapter 13 is we find the Israelites that have been walking in the wilderness. They've been delivered from Egypt. They have seen the miraculous power of God in various ways. God has led them by a pillar by day and a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So they've seen these miraculous things that are happening. They've also physically walked through a sea that was parted. And the Bible says to us that the floor was dry. It was dry. The riverbed was dry. Who knows that that right there is a miracle? The parting, but also that the ground is dry. And now they find themselves standing at the edge of the land that God had promised them. And in Numbers 13, we pick this up at the Lord's instruction where Moses sends 12 men, one leader from each of the tribe to explore the land God had promised them before. He sends them out, and they come back in verses 27, and they report as follows. We went into the land, and it does flow with milk and honey. Confirmation. Here's its fruits. All right? We went to the land. So we went to the land that Moses sent them to on the instruction of God. It does flow with milk and honey. That's a promise that God gave. Here's its fruits. I mean, this is a great report, correct? Yeah, you'd agree with me? The land seems to be good because the fruits are good. So the promise that God has given them is real. And the obvious thing is that the fruits that are there show that the promise is real. You know when somebody calls you into their office, they say, hey, can I just see you for a moment? And then they start with, you know, I love you. You know where this is going, yeah? You're doing a great job. What are you expecting after that? The word? But. Everybody say but. All right. So next slide. But, verse 28. There's a but there. But the people who live there are powerful. And the cities are fortified and very large. I like the way the focus shift from what God has promised, land of milk and honey, here's the fruits, to what they can see. Powerful, fortified, large. Now, what's interesting is that all 12 of these men saw the same land. They saw the same fruit. They saw the same cities. They saw the same giants. And they all have the same promise. Actually, they've just carried show and tell with them and placed it down and said, here's the fruit of it. But it is in the hearts that they didn't all come back carrying the same thing. The scripture says just what the heart is full of, the mouth overflows. So we're seeing here that 10 carried fear in their hearts and only 2 out of the 12 carried faith. Joshua and Caleb. So while everybody is, oh, this is the fruit, here all of a sudden we have now this group of people, the whole community, the scripture says. Now let's just stop there. The whole community potentially means not 12, not 20, not 30, not 60, possibility of hundreds of thousands of Israelites were present listening to this. What were they listening to? The but. The but, why it cannot and should not be done. But it's in that moment that Caleb in 1330, Caleb silences the people and says, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Please note that Caleb does not deny the reality. He does not deny the reality that they were giants. He does not that they were large and they were fortified. He does not deny the facts. He saw the giants as well as what they did. The difference wasn't what Caleb saw, though. The difference was how Caleb interpreted what he saw through what he knew to be true about God. You see, Caleb had seen the giants, but he had also seen God's faithfulness. He'd seen God deliver them from Egypt. He'd also seen God make a way past this Red Sea that they walked through. He'd also seen God provide miraculously in the wilderness. Caleb wasn't only looking at what was in front of him, people. He was remembering the faithfulness of the God who had brought him this far. And he says, "For we can certainly do it." Fathers, I'm speaking to you today. And although I'm talking to fathers, I'm talking to everybody, because there's a lot of lessons in here that we can learn. Fathers, our families don't need some superhero version of dad who never struggles or gets anything wrong. They need men who can, in the middle of reality, still say, "My God is faithful. I might not have all the answers, but my God is faithful. I might not know what I'm doing, but my God is faithful. I might not have the provision, but my God is faithful." This is really important, because what we carry spreads. What we carry spreads. Caleb wasn't the only voice speaking. There were 10 spies that were spreading their report. And by Numbers 14, their fear, the fear of the 10 spies, had spread through the entire community. What am I saying? What we carry spreads. You see, Numbers 14:1 says, "That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud." Let me give you context. 10 men came, and their hearts were filled with fear. The community, if you read Numbers 146, records 603,550 men. You heard right. 603,550 men were able to serve the army. So here, when we're talking about the whole community being men and women, you're looking at over 1 million, close to 2 million people. 10 people spread the fear. 2 million are crying out. What you carry spreads. What you carry spreads. What we carry doesn't usually stop with us. Fathers, what we carry shapes the atmosphere of our homes. Our children don't only hear what we say, they experience what we carry. You see, I can walk into the home and I can have had the most frustrating day. I don't have to say anything, but my kids know. My wife knows. Why? Because what I carry. We got to understand this. It shapes the atmosphere. You see, they see how we respond under pressure. They see how we treat people, where they see how we handle mistakes. They see where the dad can say, "I am sorry, please forgive me." Fathers, this is not condemnation. This is highlighting the magnitude of the influence that has been entrusted to us as fathers. So what was the difference with Caleb? Good question. God answers that question. Because in Numbers 14:24, God says, "My servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly." Caleb carried a different spirit. Now, this is not a supernatural spirit. There's only one spirit, and that's Holy Spirit here. All right, but this is not specifically referring to Holy Spirit either. It describes Caleb's inner attitude. It describes what was governing his response. You see, the 10 spies saw the giants and were governed by fear. But Caleb saw the same giants, but was governed by what he knew to be true about God. Same giants, different spirit. As fathers, I'm calling you higher. As fathers and sons of the Most High God, we have to walk with a different spirit. We have to walk with a different inner attitude. We've got to allow the things that govern us to be the things that come from God and God Himself alone. That's why I need to walk with the Spirit. That's why I need to be led by the Spirit. That's why I need to keep in step with the Spirit. Because Caleb had the same reality, but he had a different inner attitude. Different inner attitude. You see, what was happening within Caleb affected how Caleb responded to what was happening around him. What was in him? What was within him? Affected how he responded to what was around him. A different spirit produced a different response. But notice this. God connects this to and follows me wholeheartedly. He had a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly. Caleb wasn't simply more optimistic than everybody else. He wasn't saying, come on, guys, we can do this. You know what? We've got all the armies. We've got all the tools. We've got all the spears, whatever they used to use in those days. He is not saying that at all. Caleb's confidence flowed from who he was following. And he'd seen who he was following provided pillar of fire at night, cloud by day, parting of the Red Sea with dry ground, manna, provision. My goodness, he knew who he was following. It was the God of the miraculous, the God that can ship things like this. Caleb's confidence flowed from who he was following. That's a lesson for us fathers right there. Let our confidence not flow from what we know or what we think we know, but from who we are following. You see, because the Spirit-led living isn't pretending fear doesn't exist. Spirit-led living doesn't pretend that there's not problems. Spirit-led living doesn't pretend that diesel is going up and the interest rates are going up. Spirit-led living doesn't pretend, but Spirit-led living learns to walk closely to the Holy Spirit. That when fear speaks, when fear wants to speak, God's voice speaks louder. That's what we need. Let's move on. 45 years later. 45 years. Fast forward. We see Caleb's story doesn't end in Numbers. In Joshua 14, Israel has now entered the promised land. Joshua is busy distributing the land amongst the tribes. And as this is happening, there's this old man that comes walking up to Joshua. Guess what his name is? Caleb. Remember the last time we saw him? He was about 40 years. Now he is 85. So all our senior men, here's a word for you. It ain't over until you're 6 feet under the ground. 85 years of age. Listen to what he says. Joshua 14:10. Caleb speaking. Now then, he's speaking to Joshua. Just as the Lord promised. Just as the Lord promised. He has kept me alive for 45 years. Verse 11, I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. Come on, that's a word for somebody. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. This is an 85-year-old speaking, people. Just as I was then, when I was 40 years old, I am still as vigorous. I'm still as strong as I was then. Then verse 12, now he says to Joshua, give me, Caleb, this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and that's the giants, by the way, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said. He's holding on to the promise. He's holding on to the promise. That day reaches back to the day that God gave Caleb the promise after Caleb was faithful in his response as one of the spies. What's also interesting as well is 45 years later, guess what? The giants are still there. The Anakites were there, it says. But 45 years later, Caleb hasn't even wavered in his faith. He is still faithful. And he's saying, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. A man at 85 still trusting. A man at 85 still believing, still following, still standing on what God had said then. That's a word for us, fathers. That's a word for you, grandfather. You know what? That you still have to stand on the word that God said then. Here's my challenge. How many promises have you received that you put on the shelf thinking that it's over? It ain't over. Get those promises off, because if Caleb can go, back then God gave me this promise, give me this hill country, I will go and smite these Anakites. Why can you not do that? Amen? Amen. That day, still trusting, still believing, still following, still standing on what God has said. Fathers, hear me today. It's one thing to trust God in a moment, but what about 45 years later? What about 40 years? What about after the disappointments? What about after waiting so many years? What about if life hasn't really gone according to how you thought it should go? What will you still be carrying into the next generation? Remember, our ceiling is the foundation. We have a bunch of young adults. I've got them, some of them sitting on the front row. Our ceiling. I said to this young man at the interview, he said to me, Pastor JJ, what's longevity for you? I said, the day that I'm finished, I hand over the baton to you. I hand you the microphone. Jaden Gabs, I hand you the microphone. Because this foundation, this ceiling is their foundation. That's how we've all got to see it. That's how we've all got to see it. Fathers, hear this powerful lesson from Caleb. Our children don't simply need to see us start with Jesus. They need to see what it looks like to keep following Jesus. I say this to my family. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. You can walk into a job and the job sucks, but still finish well. Because it's how you leave. Come on. That's a word for us. The lesson is, our children don't need to just see us go, oh, come on, we're going to church. But one day when they're not around in your home anymore, and you're like Caleb and you are struggling to drive your car, will you still go to church? Will you still worship Him? Will you still get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and have your quiet time? Because kids see this. And it makes an impression. You see, when you're raising toddlers and you're sleep deprived, keep following Jesus. When your teenagers are suddenly there and all of a sudden dad knows absolutely nothing, according to them. Been there, done that. Yeah, any of you? Yeah. Keep following Jesus. When life disappoints you, doesn't work out the way you thought, keep following Jesus. That's the Spirit-led life. Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Spirit-led life isn't simply a moment. It's a walk, step by step. Because as you step by step with the Holy Spirit, guess what? You set up a generation that will know what it looks like to keep following God through every season. Every season. Not only the good seasons, but every season. So what is the key? This is the key. Wholehearted today, wholehearted tomorrow. Numbers 14:24, God says, Caleb follows me wholeheartedly. God noticed. Hello? He's a good father. God noticed. But listen to this. Joshua 14:14, man noticed. He followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. 45 years between those statements, yet the testimony remained the same. Caleb wasn't remembered for one great moment of faith. We're talking about Caleb today, how many thousands of years later? Why? Because he is remembered for a lifetime of wholehearted following. Fathers, one of the greatest gifts we can bring to the next generation is not perfection, but a lifetime of wholehearted following. Fathers, our children don't need a testimony that says, my dad was perfect. But what if the testimony was, I watched my dad keep following Jesus. I watched him trust God. I watched him walk through disappointment without becoming bitter. I watched him make mistakes and ask forgiveness. I watched him keep turning towards Jesus. Last week we spoke about this. Abide, turn towards. I watched him as my father went through life, continuously turning towards Jesus, seeing him face to face. And being transformed in the process. You know why? Why is this important, JJ? This is why this is important, fathers. Because years from now, our children will face their own giants. And maybe, just maybe, something rises within them that says, I've seen what faith looks like. Not because Dad talked about it, but because I watched him live it. Because I watched him live it. It's my heart for my kids. It hasn't been easy. 25 years in Oz has not been easy. For 22 years of those 25, we've had a baby. We've had a child with us. My prayer is, when they face their giants, they will be able to say, I've seen what faith looks like with my parents. Didn't just speak about it. I watched them live it. When there wasn't food on the table, I watched them cry out to God. When there wasn't money for fuel, I watched how God placed envelopes in letterboxes. That is spirit-led living. Your children will face their own giants. They will. You can set them up as father. We started today with a question. What are we carrying into the next generation? I think Caleb's life answers. A faith that keeps following. Fathers, that is my heart's cry today. A faith that keeps following.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.